Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Ricky Slade, and into the end zone he goes. Touchdown, Penn State.
But if you can't find a guy behind your offensive line, Ricky Slade just finds that little crease in there, and he just shoots right through that area into the end zone for the touchdown.
Sean Waits gets the snap from Meta. Play action fake. Pocket, rolls right, trouble, throws it deep down the middle. Hamler, end zone, got it. Touchdown, Penn State. 36 yards from Sean Clifford to K.J. Hamler. And Clifford, I thought, did a brilliant job in the pocket.
It is Ford. He's got an opening 20, 25, 30.
There goes Devin Ford, 40. Midfield, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Devin Ford, 81 yards.
It's thrown for 192 yards this half. Back he goes. Wait. Delivers far corner. K.J. Hamler. Got him. Touchdown. Penn State.
And up the middle. Touchdown. Journey Brown. His second touchdown of the day. Penn State starts the opening half and look very, very sharp. Levis on fourth and goal at the 3. Attacking the north end zone to her left. Gives it to Noah Cain. Up the middle. Touchdown, Penn State. Noah Cain, his first career touchdown. And the Nittany Lions expand their lead. Brent is back in at the center. They give it to rolling left is Levis. Good catch by Brent Strange. Touchdown, Penn State. The freshman tight end, Brent Strange, gets his first career touchdown. And the Nittany Lions are on the board. Sure, it's 64-0, but that's a big moment for Brenton Strange to come into this game, and Levis gets his first career touchdown pass.
Second and 8 at the 9 near hash. It's going to be Kane through the hole, 25, lowers the shoulder, spins to the goal line. He's there. Does he have it?
Indeed he does. Touchdown, Penn State.
And it's going to be Urie again. Bounces to his right to the 5. Keeps the legs driving. Now to his left. Inside to the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State. What a fabulous run by Nick Urie. His first career Penn State touchdown.
You look around college football, and there's a bunch of early games where you're sloppy with substitutions and penalties. And it's magnified in a game like this because a lot of moving parts. So I was pleased with that overall. There's obviously a bunch of stuff for us to get cleaned up, but we were able to get a bunch of guys valuable reps. It was really special to see a guy like Nick Urie representing the coal region of Pennsylvania and coming in there and scoring a touchdown, and our entire team going crazy for that kid, because for 5 years he's done an unbelievable job with us. We felt like we had a chance to be pretty good on the defensive line. We got some things that we got to clean up, obviously, and we got to grow, but I'm pleased. We got D tackles that we can rotate in that are big and physical and athletic, understand the scheme and are disruptive. We're very talented at defensive end. And then we got some linebackers. You know, Mike Hull doesn't get enough credit. You know, he was an eraser for us early on that first year.
Yes.
And I think we got some guys right now in the pipeline that have the ability to be that as well. I thought we did a good job. It's a good starting point for us. We were able to run and pass, which is obviously important. I thought early on, and he told me, he's a little nervous and missed some throws he should have missed, but we were able to get him calmed down and then played really well from that point on. Managed the game well. You know, we had a turnover on special teams, but I don't think we had any on offense. You know, we had a few penalties, but overall, very clean. You know, and what we talk about a lot is 70 to 75% of college football teams will beat themselves by turning the ball over, penalties, things like that. And I thought we were pretty clean again for a game one with a young team.
How important was it for Devin Ford and Noah Cain to get a feel for college football, and what did you see from them today?
You know, well, I've been saying that we got four backs that we think we can win with, and I think everybody saw examples of that today. We're going to keep getting those guys reps and opportunities, still allow them to grow and mature. But overall, some really good things. You know, one thing that sticks out in my mind is we reached a ball out of the goal line. We don't do that unless it's fourth down. It's not worth putting the ball. We've seen it too many times. You put the ball on the ground, it rolls through the end zone, touchback. But overall, really, really good.
And they were really, really good on Saturday. That's fine. It was expected they were going to win big. I remember talking to Russ Rose the other day, and Russ said how big. I said at least 50. And it's, you know, so you do the expected. But let's get to the important aspects inside the game. Number one, the four guys that had more reps than anybody else in the game happened to be Rasheed Walker, who had 58, Dez Holmes, Mike Miranda, C.J. Thorpe. All four of them needed a lot of reps because, especially in the case of Walker, Holmes, and yes, Thorpe, they never had to play that many plays in a game before. Miranda did. Miranda, remember, started against Maryland, so at least he's had one. But it was important, and for Miranda, for example, Miranda got yanked out after a bad snap. Then he went right back in after that. It's important for him because he is in that three-guard rotation. He is the backup center. And that's where the versatility comes in on the offensive line. You saw Walker play left tackle, right tackle. Holmes can play either tackle. And we talked about Miranda and his versatility. Now you know that Penn State in a game has seven guys that at minimum you can rotate in. And then there's Caden Wallace. And as James said today, they are planning on playing Caden Wallace this season. So that part was important. Defensively, John Reed had the most plays. And remember, there are fewer plays defensively in this game. They only had 54 plays. But John Reed had the most. He had 29. That means no guy on defense played more than 29 plays in this game. I think Jaquan Brisker had 27 plays. But the veterans got just of enough of a sweat. So now they're into a game mode. The backups got game experience against somebody else who's trying to beat them. Yeah, there's, you can talk about competitive periods in practice, which are important. But you know, they went against somebody else. I know today, and this was a good question. The question was asked, do you think you'd like to do it like the NFL where you have preseason scrimmages and things like that? And James rejected, and I completely agree with James for rejecting that. I mean, the NFL's trying to get rid of preseason games. Okay? What does that tell you? I don't mind what college football does at all. I don't mind that Middle Tennessee State opens with Michigan. I don't mind that Florida Atlantic opens with Ohio State. I don't mind that Idaho opens with Penn State. I mean, there'll be some years coming up, for example, in 21, they open at Wisconsin. I think in 22, they open at Purdue or else hung with one of the two. They open with Purdue. And when the West Virginia series are both opening games. I mean, they're opening games. So I don't mind. I've never minded that Penn State has ever, quote, eased its way into a season. Never has bothered me at all. I think it's smart scheduling. Now, for you, the fan, it's not your cup of tea. I understand that. You do pay the freight. I got that. But I think you have to build in the season, and that's why when I've talked about the season for Penn State, I've repeatedly talked about how I like how the schedule's placed. Three games, bye week. Then five games, bye week. Then four games, season, regular season over. The bye weeks to me are placed perfectly. I also think the way the schedule builds. Okay, Idaho. Expected prohibitive favorite. Everybody knew that going in. Now you get against a better team in Buffalo. Now remember, last year Penn State gave up 165 yards rushing per game. That number needs to come down. Buffalo is a team that can run the ball. Patterson's a fabulous running back. Kevin Marks, the backup, is a really good running back. So their top two tailbacks are really good players. The problem, the guy you don't know about is Myers, the quarterback. You just don't really, even after Robert Morris, know nothing except the basic stuff I've seen on tape. But at least now you're stepping up in competition. The caliber of athlete is better. The caliber of confidence is higher. I mean, when Idaho came in, you didn't see this. You were still out in the parking lot. I always have to tape a pregame piece that leads into James Franklin. So always tape that. So I'm sitting there getting ready to tape, and Idaho comes in. Now, I don't blame them at all for doing this, please. This is not, but it does tell you something. All of them walked in with their phones, and they were all taking pictures or video of the stadium. It was a huge deal for them to be there. But at the same time, it told me that they were in awe of the whole thing. Buffalo won't be in awe of the whole thing. Now, is Penn State the better team? No question Penn State's the better team. There's no doubt about that. That's not what this is about. But this is about a schedule that is building up. So you got this game, Idaho, done. Now you build to the next one, boom. Then you go to the next one after that. Each week gets tougher for you. But you should be ready to handle and should be able to handle each week up the ladder. That's why I like the schedule the way it works. All right. We will take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I asked Sean about the high school scores on Friday night. It didn't sound pretty. Yikes.
Tough losses for Seawinds Grove and Shikellamy. Next up, Shikellamy actually haven't even had a home game yet, so Loyal Sock will be at Schick on Friday night. Southern Columbia will travel to Seawinds Grove, and Lewisburg with a nice 30-point win over Central Mountain. Lewisburg will be traveling to the Silver Bowl on Friday night to take on Mount Carmel, but Mount Carmel was shut out by Southern on Saturday night.
Right.
So Mount Carmel will be ready to play for Friday night's game there, too.
The I understand Central Columbia scored 29.8.
A little less than that. They were in the 20s. Not to be confused with the Suits Pristine 298 bowling game that still has not been surpassed in Central Columbia bowling history.
Wonder if he still pictures those two pins sitting there.
Oh, it probably drives him nuts. Are you kidding me?
Well, fortunately, none of us brings it up. All right, so...
oh, he was salty over the weekend. IndyCar announced their 2020 schedule. Guess where they're not going next summer?
Oh, they're not going to Pocono.
No. Oh, my. He is... I have a feeling he's not going to be going to any IndyCar races in the not-too-distant future.
That's it? He's bagged them?
I think he's boycotted the sport. More time to focus on football.
Well, I feel great because I talked to the Pocono guys and said, look, you could do this. I think they could change this guy's life.
Question is now, is August the most wonderful time of the year in the life of a.k.a. Kevin the Suit Her? That may change now that there's no Pocono race in August.
No, to be honest with you, I think the most beautiful month will be when he makes goal on digital media.
Yeah.
So
we cheer him on every month.
We're trying to.
I know.
Look, there is a lot of people say, what do you get out of a game like that? Look, all these guys played. They all played. Again, when you are, and I completely understand why Auburn plays Oregon. Now, Notre Dame has to play Louisville because they have that five-game ACC arrangement. But I think it's smart to play somebody like that early. May not entice the fans, but it's good for the football team. You can't do a steady diet of that. You can't. You've got to then step up with your next game, which they do. Now, remember, when they put Idaho on, Idaho was still FBS. But they'll step up this week. Much better opponent. And they'll step up the week after, then get a bye week and assess where they are. So while I completely understand why somebody would be, oh, they shouldn't be playing a team like this, oh, you know, I understand that part. But I also don't want to start the season. You know, I don't mind if they were to start the season with Buffalo, that's fine. But when you don't have a preseason scrimmage, you don't have a preseason game, you got to get out there against somebody. So they did it. Now they step up and step up, and then they get a bye week, and then they open the Big Ten at Maryland. Like Clifford said, Sean said to Jack and me, and you heard him at the beginning here, said, hey, look, he said, the first two series, he says, I was nervous. I was nervous. Well, now, I'd rather have him nervous against Idaho than nervous against Pitt in the opening two series. I mean, I'd rather have that. In other words, let's get that out of the way against somebody you know you're going to beat first time through. Because once you get to the third series, you could see Sean settled down. You know, Levis got time, which was good. Levis has got to keep himself, has got to go to the ground. He can't act like he's a tailback breaking tackles. He's a quarterback. Will, go to the ground. Next half hour, James Franklin's press conference from today. 4:06, Matt McGloin, who did a brilliant job on the sideline for us Saturday. Plus your calls. Great to have you with us today, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have insured this area for decades. Why do people turn to Purdy Insurance? Well, quite simply, I know I like to be associated with the best in the business. Good people that care about my insurance needs. Auto, home, life, business. They'll make sure you're completely covered. They'll find you the best price. And if there's ever a claim, they will work tirelessly on your behalf. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studios. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt McGloin in the next half hour. Think of what Bob Flounders, I believe, tomorrow, correct? Along with the high school roundtable tomorrow.
Correct on both, yes.
Do we know who's representing Chickalooney tomorrow?
Kevin Herr will be joining us tomorrow.
Should I ask again right before we start this break 24 hours from now?
Kevin is locked in for 3:35 tomorrow.
Eastern time?
Correct.
Thought there'd be like some big Bucknell shindig going on. No?
Too early in the season. Shindig later in the year, closer to the holidays.
Which holiday? All right, well, all right. James Franklin had his press conference earlier today to talk about Penn State and also the upcoming matchup with Buffalo.
What did your off-season study turn up regarding the disparity last season between fumbles forced and recovered? And in what ways did you address that difference in meetings and practice? Because after the game, you had mentioned, I think it was Tariq with the scoop and score on like an incomplete pass. And that seemed to be one of the issues you were talking about.
Yeah, I think you know, one of the things that we saw on defense is obviously the best way to create turnovers is make sure that you're going for them consistently. So, and I think in the passing game, that's always been emphasized, but I think in the run game sometimes we're not taking enough shots at the ball, whether we're trying to punch it out or strip it out, or putting our hat on the ball or whatever it may be. And you look not only with us but other programs, you know, obviously the more times you take shots at the ball, the more chances that you have of getting it out, and we probably haven't done enough of that. It's also a fine line in practice, especially when offense is going against the defense, because when you try to strip the ball out like that, we want that on the offensive side of the ball for ball security purposes, but not when you get to the point where you sling a guy to the ground or something like that. But defensively, I think it was very clear and obvious that we need to take more shots at the ball. Offensively, it's really just the fundamentals of making sure that the ball is in the outside arm, that the ball is high and tight, and that you're not switching the ball. We saw that last night on television, that you're not switching the ball. And then we try to use examples. Like, I'm going to talk about, you know, that game last night. It's 14-all going into halftime. And, you know, they get a turnover right before the half that results to points, and the game starts to swing from there. So, I try to emphasize it and show the impact of turnovers as much as I possibly can. But offensively, you know, it hasn't changed a whole lot. Defensively, it's about, you know, our ability and our willingness to go after the ball as much as we possibly can.
Frank Bonanni, York Daily Record.
Hi, James. Good to talk to you today.
You say it's good to talk to you today? It's good to talk to you, too.
Your running backs, you have Orr's next to all of them on the depth chart. Can you describe a little bit more how close they all are in the competition? And is it difficult at all to manage that as a coach right now?
No, I actually think the opposite. We probably could have listed five. I thought that run that Uri had was phenomenal on Saturday. I mean, it was a really good run. But no, I think it's quite the opposite. When you have when you have five running backs all score a touchdown and a couple with multiple. You know, there's a lot of people that are getting opportunities and are getting opportunities to make an impact in the game, and I think that creates a healthy position, and I think that creates a healthy locker room. So, you know, I think as the season goes on, you know, there's going to be weeks that it's going to get tricky, and there's going to be a guy that gets hot that you go with. But obviously, whenever we can play multiple backs and they all have success and all score touchdowns, I don't know if I've ever been a part of that before. You know, five separate running backs all scoring a touchdown, pretty special. So at this point, you know, I think it's working extremely well, but obviously it's very early in the season.
Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer.
Hello, James. How are you?
Good, Joe. How are you, buddy?
Fine, thank you. I wanted to ask you about Lamont Wade. Obviously, he was in the transfer portal after the last season and came back. I just wondered if you could characterize the nature of the conversations you had with him and his parents, and how you addressed, maybe getting some more playing time this season.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, not a whole lot different. You know, those conversations, you know, don't really change. You know, whenever guys want to come and meet with me, or their parents want to come meet with me, you just as upfront and as transparent and honest as you can possibly be. I'm not a big believer in making promises in the recruiting process or making promises with players, because that can create some tough situations and dynamics. You know, it's we're going to play the guys that earn it, and Lamont's earned it. I think, you know, one of the things I think I've mentioned before is, you know, a lot of times when you get transfers like Jordan Stout, who's doing a great job for us, and a lot of people will say, see, he needed a fresh start somewhere. Well, it may just be the fact that he's a year older, you know, and has matured. And I think that's a thing with Lamont. I think we would all recognize and all agree with that, you know, both the positives and the adversity that you go through in life, they make you who you are. And Lamont right now, the success that he's having and the confidence that he's playing with and the confidence that our coaching staff has in him is a byproduct of everything that he's been through over the last 3 years. The recruiting process, the early opportunities that he got, the early opportunities that he didn't get, the adversity, you know, the maybe some of the pressure that he was putting on himself, the expectations, external expectations. I think, you know, all those things happen for a reason. I think he's in a great place right now, and obviously we're happy that he's here. And the one thing that I probably talked about, you know, during that process more than anything is the Penn State degree, which is the most powerful thing and the most important thing. And I think a lot of times that's my probably only issue with this whole transfer portal is the NCAA, in my opinion, and college athletics used to be academics driven. And for us to think that any of these decisions are anything more than football decisions, I don't think is accurate. I think, you know, most of these decisions are being driven by football, where the college athletics that I grew up with was driven based on academics. And don't get me wrong, the athletic experience was very, very important as well, but it was in that order. And what I'm seeing right now is a little bit of a shift. That's to me, you know, somewhat concerning.
Mike Gross, Lancaster Newspapers.
Good afternoon, James.
How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good, real good.
Damian Barber, I don't think played last week. He wasn't on the report. Can you tell us why he didn't play, and will he be ready to go this week?
Yeah, he'll play this week. He didn't play last week. He was suspended for a violation of team rules.
Collins, Scranton Times Tribune.
How you doing, James?
Hey, Donnie.
You mentioned the celebration after Nick Yeary's touchdown last week, and he got a lot of attention on social media after the game, after the touchdown run. What does he do behind the scenes that makes him so easy for his teammates to root for?
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's a guy that comes to work every single day. He's got a huge smile on his face, is very appreciative. you know, and goes out and gets his team better every single day by the way he practices, whether that's in drills, whether that's on our developmental squad, whether that's for the defense, whether that's for the offense. I don't know when it was, but there was a camp a few years ago where we had some injuries, and literally we wouldn't have been able to have camp without Nick Uri. He took like every rep in practice. You know, like we built water breaks in for him because he was the only one going. So again, he's just one of those guys, how he's been academically, how he's been socially, the type of teammate he's been. He's just been phenomenal. So I think everybody recognizes when you get guys like that, and maybe their name's not in the newspaper, they're not getting playing time, you know, or so on and so forth. When those guys are able to have some success and get in the game, it means a lot. You know, you see a guy like Saquon Barkley, you know, give him a shout out. You know, these are the guys that you're going to remember. I think, you know, obviously it's easy to remember the star players and the impact that they had, but I think on a team and a brotherhood, you know, within our building and within our locker room, it's those guys, you know, that I think ultimately, you know, earn the most respect, because it is all about the team. It is all about the university. It is all about the program. It is all about their teammates. Because the reality is, some of these guys may go 4 and 5 years and never see the field, and never get that type of you know, positive you know, affirmation. So, you know, I think it's wonderful. And again, I think that goes back to this last game, you know, allowing those guys to get in the game and actually play. You know, I know, you know, we had some discussions as a staff, and me and Chris had some discussions and things like that. You look at the score, and you know, you know, no one, I would say, necessarily likes to see that in college football. But I will tell you, I also believe very strongly that those guys deserve the ability to get in the game and play. You know, they should be able to go in and play, and that's what they were able to do, and that's why the locker room and the team reacted the way they did to him.
Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror.
Hi, James.
Hey, Corey.
I don't know what broadcaster it was, but somebody said on one of the national games that most college football coaches would like to see joint practices or some type of preseason scrimmage, you know, like they do in the NFL. What's your opinion on that? Would you be in favor of either one of those things, and are they feasible?
No, I don't think they're really feasible. It's funny that you say that, but then what's the NFL trying to do right now with the preseason? You know, there's all kinds of conversations about getting rid of the preseason. You know, but I do think, you know, that where the discussion comes is, you know, I get it from a fan perspective. Everybody wants to see, you know, Penn State, you know, versus the Philadelphia Eagles every single week. I get that. But there's also a reason that you see, you know, some of these types of games being scheduled and played, because you do need some time to kind of work out, you know, some of the issues. There's also been some big games that we've all seen early in the season, the last couple of years, and they haven't gone as clean or as played as well as people would like. Well, again, that goes back to, in high school you got scrimmages, and the NFL you got preseason games, and we don't have that. So it's a fine line between all of those things. I think I had mentioned, you talk about maybe scrimmages with local teams in your state. I could see, you know, where that may make sense, because it keeps the expenses down and things like that. But again, just like the NFL, you do those things and you have some injuries, then, you know, that's going to go out the window too. So I think where we have to be careful is we want the model to be perfect, and it's never going to be perfect. We got a pretty good system now, and we should be trying to refine it and get better every single year. But I think, you know, we got to be careful making some, you know, massive changes, because again, you remember the season used to be 10 games, then 11 games, then 12 games, you know, and now with the playoffs and everything else, I think, you know, you're up to, you know, almost an NFL season. So, you know, I just got to be careful with all these things that we wish for. It's never going to be perfect, but college football is pretty darn good. And you could, you know, a great example of that is our stadium, Beaver Stadium, with 104,000 for an opening game. You look at TV ratings and things like that. It's funny, there's arguments a few years ago about shortening the game. I'm like, why? You know, the game's more popular than it's ever been. So, you know, some pretty good things going on.
Head football coach James Franklin today at his press conference. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Penn State will take on Buffalo Saturday night in Beaver Stadium. Kickoff Saturday is set for 7:30. We're on beginning at 6 o'clock. Matt McGloin is going to join us in the next half hour. He was on the sideline for us on Saturday, channeling his inner Matt Catrillo. I understand Matty Ice was outstanding on Saturday.
Yes, did a great job. You can check that off his bucket list, being an Eagles fan right there on the field, Lincoln Financial Field there, Saturday afternoon for the Bison. Well done.
I understand that he had great support from Doug Birdsong.
Yeah.
Others who felt threatened by his presence said very little.
I know D-Will may have to keep his head on the swivel. I think Matt crushed it there on Saturday. It was terrific.
Well, here's Derek's situation. Derek is in the process, we think, of taking a job in Texas. So I'm trying to find out now what we're going to do moving forward. So I'm still trying to find that out right now.
Oh, okay.
And I did call Doug Nelson about that today, and Doug did call me back, naturally, of course. It was a... naturally, he called me back. I was at the press conference at the time, so... So we'll see going forward what's going on. I've got to find out at some point. I mean, I thought Matt did a great job, so, you know. But at the same time, if I'm in the booth, even though Matt can talk about the total game and Derek can talk about the total game, they're both experts in a certain part of the game. So I'm not going to sit there and say to Matt, hey, Matt, you know, what are you looking for in a punt return? Jack and I are not going to ask Matt that. We're going to talk to him about what's he seeing in both quarterbacks. You know, what's he seeing in the pace of the play? What's he seeing in the flow of the play calling? Things like that. We're going to talk to him about areas where it is his strength to talk about.
I'm trying to remember the question that or the scenario that Jack painted during the tailgate show, and then Matt just went right into it. No problem at all.
Right. So, I mean, you've got, you know, I know we brought up to him about, look, first game, first start, getting the jitters out. How did you do it? He said, look, I want to take the first hit. He said, I want to be hit first. All right? Which is 180 of the Bucknell color analyst. He doesn't want to be touched before he goes out on the air.
That's when he's very, very nimble back in the day. Back in the day when he roamed the sidelines. So close yet so far away.
There's certain words I just would not think of.
Nimble.
And that would have been one. Nimble. So, yeah.
And you knew sooner or later Clifford was going to get the jitters out, just, you know, keep pressing forward and, you know, keep pressing, you know, rolling the team down the field and everything will fall into place. And it definitely did for him.
Yeah, he said two series. Third series settled in. I thought the best play he made all day was the first touchdown pass to Hamler, because I talked about the straight line speed, because you saw they were running Sean Clifford. So we know he has straight line speed. That's not an issue. I've watched straight line speed out of Sean Clifford for years. I've always been impressed by his straight line speed. That's why I talked about with Matt in the pregame about working that 3 to 5 foot pocket area. Well, on the touchdown pass to Hamler, see how nimble he was in the pocket? Kept his head up, Right? Was not the kind of, quote, kid that, boom, ducks the head down and the first instinct is to run. He kept his head up, which meant he's trying to look to make a pass play, and it bought Hamler enough time to get behind the secondary, and he's laid it in there to him in the end zone. He's wide open. But if it wasn't for Clifford being nimble in the pocket, that's what allowed Hamler to be wide open on the play.
I was surprised, though, that he had the jitters. I thought he had enough playing time in some of the early games last September. But just now knowing he's got the keys, he's in control, he's QB1, and now it's time to elevate his game and put everything to good use that he's learned the last couple of years.
He has not started a game since December 2016. He hadn't started a game since December 2016 in the Ohio playoffs. He didn't start in 17. He did a little bit of work in 18. But now, I mean, look, this is his baby now. He's been handed the keys to the car. How confident were you the first time you drove?
I was restricted to a parking lot.
Yeah.
I had to get my three-point turn down first.
I mean, I know all of us like to arrive at the location for the speaking engagements before the suit for obvious reasons, because he still hasn't mastered that either. I mean, he tried to run you down in the parking lot one day.
I know, it was bad.
We was yelling, I have a meeting. We don't, you know, and we kept looking through. We weren't sure who was with it.
Station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.